It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Neverwinter Nights Podcast in the Realms of Trinity.
Hey, Justin here, DM from the Realms of Trinity and a member of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
This is Superfly 2000 from the Neverwinter Nights 1 community on Crossfire.
And you're listening to the 153rd episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, the podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Oh, we got a good interview today with Superfly NWN 2000. He's a great NWN community leader. He's ran a couple of Persistent Worlds. He has created a Crossfire players group using the Crossfire application for player communication and, you know, people getting together in game. And it's really cool. And, you know, stay tuned for the interview after our news segment. Got a couple show notes to talk about before we get into the news. We have some interviews that we're queuing up right now ahead of time. They're going to take place after Christmas, but they're going to be pretty much rapid fire. We're going to try to schedule them 1 week apart from each other, and then we'll still roll out the shows in, you know, biweekly fashion. But we want to at least get three or four interviews queued up so that we, you know, don't run into any more lulls in podcast releases. We've had a couple cancellations out of nowhere, so I want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, we were ready to do the recording and, you know, we're dedicated still. So, you know, we took 3 weeks for the last two. You know, it's more or less a scheduling issue with our guests. So we're going to correct that by, you know, scheduling a bunch of people up front and, you know, bang out some interviews so we can have a buffer. The other show notes we have is for Neverwinter Nights 1. Something pretty big came out. This is an Neverwinter Nights 1 community patch 1.70 that was compiled and put together by Shadow with two O's. The vault link is on there, but about the patch itself, it is an unofficial patch. It's very similar to like the 1.69 released by BioWare towards the end that is compiled from works of numerous NWN community members and completed by Shadow. According to him, he says, "I dare to say that this update is the largest collection of fixes and unique features whatsoever. It took over a year to pull all of it together and to detect and eliminate any issues that could have been raised by doing this. But here we are, and I hope that the community will appreciate the effort. The patch does the work almost the same way as the old official patches do in the past. The only difference is that the community patch doesn't affect the game version, and it's fully compatible with previous official patch 1.69. So you can still... players still can play without connecting to different versions of the servers, like the server mismatch versioning. And the patch is fully compatible with any custom content like CEP, PRC, and Project Q, which is extremely important since a lot of the Persistent Worlds and for Neverwinter Nights 1 and the single player modules use these compilations. So it looks pretty cool. A lot of features. Hopefully it gets a lot of legs on it, and, you know, people start making more of these types of community patches. And we got some Neverwinter 2 news.
Yeah, on the Neverwinter Nights 2 side, we got a few new things. There's a couple new models that are out there by Jestem. Again, he's done a bunch of models recently. He actually won the contest that we did for new creature models, but he has two new ones out there. There's the Skull Crossbow and the Baylor, and they both look pretty nice. So the Skull Crossbow is a new weapon model. Looks like a skull, basically, in the front of the crossbow, so the arrow shoots out his mouth. And then the Baylor, which is yet another creature model. He's done quite a few good creature models, so go check those ones out on the vault. There's also a new prefab area done by Zarkonis, and it is of a rocky beach, and it is a pretty top-notch area. I've looked through it here, and it looks pretty nice, so go out there and look at that one if you're... if you're in need of a beach-type area for anything you're building right now.
Yeah, it's very well done, well-textured, perfect size. It looks like it would fit in just about any Persistent World anywhere or module.
Definitely, and it looks like a top-notch area, so go check it out.
Heck yeah. And we got some other PW updates for Neverwinter 2. First one that we briefly mentioned before is Legacy Dark Age of Britain had their one-year anniversary. It looks like they're going strong. I was checking out their forums and seeing them on their number list online. They're doing really well. Once again, this is very unique and has a great perspective for Persistent World. If you definitely want to get outside of Forgotten Realms and try something else, very customized with custom classes and races and, you know, in more of a real-world feel, because it is based in Britain in the Dark Ages. So definitely something to check out. Really cool stuff. We got a couple updates for the Realms of Trinity. We've done some pretty much never before done options. We've added to the server and scaled the server, so we'll get into them real quick. The first thing we did, we've introduced a couple things. There's ROT personal difficulty optioning and extreme mode. When you start a character on Realms of Trinity, you will be given the option to create a character in an easy or normal. If you do easy, you get 5 base stat point increases above what you normally do when you create your character. Those are permanent, and they act as if like they were what they were. You can qualify for feats faster, you know, more hit points, more strength, well, whatever, you know, whatever you're looking for a particular build or whatever. And you also get a little bit more gold, and you get 8,000 experience points to start, which will put you around level 4 or 5, depending on if you're, you know, playing one of the EC races and or setups like that. The only drawback to that is that we have bonus XP for higher end mobs later in the game. You won't get that bonus XP later in the game, but if you look at it mechanically, it balances out because you're getting a free epic what we call epic re-level, which normally takes 1 million experience to do. So you're getting those 5 free stat points that are permanent to your character. So it does balance out. So it doesn't affect the balance of the game by doing this. And you get half the gold for your kills. So, you know, it's a little bit of a drawback, but it once again, it's a strict balance out. And the last part is something every player has the access to do by character, depending on, it doesn't matter whether you picked easy or normal when you created your character. It is what we call extreme mode difficulty. And we have an item in your inventory that you turn on, turn off, that it will stick in the database, that mode, to whether you have it on or off. You could do it once every 10 minutes, turn on or off. And what it does is for any content in the game, any creature that has a challenge rating, a CR of 17 or higher, will scale upwards dynamically. So you could have this mob that's somewhat innocuous to your level 30 character when you go back through, but if you turn extreme difficulty on, it will quote unquote beef up, you know, to be rather challenging, and it's all dynamic. The character will have a little EX, the NPC will have an EX after their name in parentheses when it's on. When you leave the area, any unkilled or avoided mobs will debuff themselves and it'll go back to the normal mode. It's very seamless, very slick, and it's very quick. It's almost immediate. As soon as you turn on the thing, within 6 seconds, all the creatures in the area will scale up to that extreme difficulty. And you have anything else you'd like to add on that there, Justin, from your experiences? Or?
I don't think so, really. I mean, you kind of covered everything there. It's definitely a lot more dynamic environment now. You can build a lot of different kinds of builds and play through the game. We've tested that quite a bit to make sure that that's an option. And then, you know, to make it even harder, you can hit that extreme mode and make it as tough as it used to be, so to say. So it's definitely a huge improvement, and hopefully everybody else will think so too.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a lot of good feedback, and it is truly a win-win scenario where everybody wins. If you like the power build, you win. If you don't like the power build, hey, you win. You know, if you'd like to make different stuff, you win.
So. Right. Yeah, I mean, you can make a roleplay geared character that's not a power built character and still play through the whole game. And then if you want to power build and test your might, so to speak, you can hit on that extreme and everything will get even tougher. So.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of bonus features. So, and last but not least, we also had added a getting started video thanks to the Dell Lance. Amy over there gave me the great idea to, you know, create a getting started video to help people get, you know, to understand the basics of the Persistent World. I did something very similar to what she was able to do. It was very well, mind you, over at the Dell Lance. And, definitely check it out. It's on YouTube. We have it on our forums, and we'll put a link in the show notes as well to that. So I think that's it. You got anything else news-wise?
I don't think so. I think we're ready for the interview here.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be interviewing Superfly NWN 2000. Hey, Superfly 2000, thanks for coming on the show. It's really a pleasure to have you on, and especially for all that you do for the community. I'm really glad to hear you talk about the X-Fire stuff that you've been working on. Could you start out, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background with Neverwinter Nights?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for letting me on the show. And I am from Sweden. My real name is Mikael, and or Mike, you can say, or... I am in my mid-30s and work as a civil engineer. In my free time, I like to do salsa dancing and I like to travel. And of course, I like to play games then. So I am playing, well, mostly Neverwinter Nights 1. And I've been playing that for, well, many years, like 6, 7 years, 8 years. And been building a little bit. I've not been building a persistent world from scratch, but I've been hosting two of them and editing them, adding stuff to them, so to speak, and DMing a little bit.
Which persistent worlds are those two that you host right now?
That was Monsey Nomads was one of them. That was more like my own, or it was actually the Pool of Radiance module from the vault that we used, which is a multiplayer module. And I had some work getting it a little bit more persistent. And but it's a good module and it's a fun one. And it's a really good one for multiplayer and even for single player. You can use it. And then the second one was we finally got the hold of... my old persistent world where I used to play, which was called Genesis Nordok. It was Genesis Nordok that we... it was my old Peewee that I used to play. And it went offline like a year or two. And then finally, for one Christmas, it came on the vault, that module. And, well, I hosted it with some help with one friend on the net. So those were those two I was involved in, except for playing on numerous servers, of course. And so then, that was about Neverwinter Nights. And I also play other games, but not so much. I started lately playing Battlefield 3, of course, and Minecraft. Also, I've been playing a little bit of Second Life. Don't hang me for it, but I do that sometimes. I play as a DJ there sometimes and play some music, and that's
Can you tell us what X-Fire is?
Yes, I can. Crossfire is like a messenger. It's, if I compare to something that is there already, then maybe we have Steam. But it's more advanced than Steam because you can also take screenshots in games and even video and broadcast live. And you can, there are lots of things you can do that you can't do on Steam, for example. And also you can connect other messengers to Crossfire, like MSN, and it can message in game, so you get message pop-ups in game, so no need to use full screen anymore. And inside the application, you have servers that you can monitor or join them from Crossfire, so you don't need to fire up the actual Neverwinter Nights game, but you can start them from that application or even from the web. I think, well, there's like a whole list of things you can do with this, but it's a messenger like Steam, but for gamers, and but more advanced, and maybe a little bit less people on Crossfire than on Steam, of course. But
it does sound like it has a lot of features, and it offers a lot of benefit for Neverwinter Nights players.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's great.
I think so. For multiplayer, if you want to join some servers and so on, it's great, I think.
Yeah, it is great.
I don't know if you're using it yourselves.
No, we're kind of stuck in Neverwinter Nights 2 land right now, since between us running our persistent world and everything like that. Is it something that is for Neverwinter Nights 2, or is it just strictly for Neverwinter Nights 1?
No, this is for just about any game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it works for 99% of the games, and so there is also a Neverwinter Nights. Well, my community is aimed towards Neverwinter Nights 1, but that's just the community. Then, I mean, the whole program you can use for whatever game, and or just for chatting, like instead for MSN, you can connect MSN to Crossfire, so you don't need to you can cut out one Microsoft program. There is actually a Neverwinter Nights 2 community, or actually that's the other one, I think, is mixed Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. But for Neverwinter Nights 2, I think, I'm pretty sure, the Steam community is a lot bigger, actually. About Neverwinter Nights 2, because they started selling it some time ago.
Yeah, it's definitely really cool. Something to look into for certain, especially for our play group and our people that we have on our server. That's pretty cool. Is there any special functions that are good for NWM players that you could call out?
Yeah, I think I may have touched a couple of them, but the most important ones are, of course, the chat, maybe screenshot, video, and that you can monitor servers in the application and on the web as well. I think that's the most important one. And join servers, and you can see your friends what server they're playing at, and how many are on, so you can join it and so on. So, well, it's quite handy.
Yeah, so it really does sound like it. I mean, compare that to, like, when you log in now to the multiplayer thing, you really don't get that level of detail. Well, at least with Neverwinter Nights 2, you don't have that level of connectivity and detail. You can see the servers and how many people are on, but to know exactly where your friends are and your groups are, that's totally, you don't have visibility to that the way it currently is.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly how the lobby works in Neverwinter Nights 2, but in Neverwinter Nights 1, the lobby is quite good. You do have a couple of friends, I think, but I think there's a limit that's about 30 friends or something.
Right, I do remember that.
Yeah, and you can add favorite servers, and you can actually monitor those servers, but that actually requires you to start the game.
Yeah, right.
But Crossfire, you can just run it, or you can check the web even for, like, monitoring. So, yeah, it's more handy.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, and also Steam, I think. I don't know Steam. I don't think Steam has that kind of server monitoring and many other functions. So you're losing out on that. But you have the chat, of course. But they have a good, a big Neverwinter Nights 2 community on Steam. That's what I know, at least. Yes.
Yeah, what can you offer for Persistent World admins?
I have been asking and contacting a couple of Persistence Worlds that I was interested in and I thought were interesting, but it was also, my guild has also been kind of open to many others who can use the forums in the guild to write, and it's visible on the front page, and I can do news posts for them, so they can just shoot me a message and I will add it in the news, in the guild news. And it will also be visible on that page. The amount of servers I can have listed there is a little bit limited, of course, because the description text has a limit, and there is a list of servers on the right-hand side, a little bit further down on my webpage. And that list, well, I can't make it as long as... it has a limitation, or... Yeah, well, I don't want to have 100 servers there or something.
Right.
Yeah,
you get that bleed out effect after so many.
Yeah, but I would like to invite even more PV admins if they feel that they have use for this, and for the ones which are interesting, or even if I don't think it's interesting myself, just if they have a server that's online, and if they have hopefully a web page, but it's not necessary, a good forum is enough for me. But like if they have a server online, they can pretty much get admin rights for this guild, and then they can post news themselves. That's about one of the perks of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of people take for, like, I noticed personally just recently when I was going through trying to get some interviews lined up for the podcast, like, I would try to go to the forums of several different Persistent Worlds, and I couldn't even register on the forums. I mean, sometimes that's the people, they get on there and, like, they'll, because I know they're trying to stop the spam and things like that, but, like, there was this one that I was trying to, I know it's a little off topic, but it's still pretty pertinent to this, is that, when I tried to actually register, they actually had you order, like, these cities on the Sword Coast, and, like, you had to put them in the right order, and if you didn't do, you know, you couldn't register, and I'd be damned if I could do it off the top of my head, you know, and I'm trying to find maps and stuff to see if I could do, I mean, it was all that, and I couldn't even send a message to the admin of the server because of that, you know, so having something like Crossfire set up where you could, if you just, if you're using it already, and you could see these types of things, if they sign up with your guild or group, yeah, it makes it a lot easier for people to get up to the server. I can only see that helping server population versus the other way around.
Yeah, of course, but that depends a little bit on how I am handling it, or how much I'm changing the IP number and so on.
Oh, so true.
But if there are more admins, they can add or remove servers as well. For example, some server might change IP number or something like that, and then I have to change it here.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, it is a maintenance.
Yeah, a little bit maintenance is required, but then it works. And I am assuming that the servers that are get added here at least have that minimum kind of information on their site available. Hopefully.
Why use Xfire and your guilds there? Like, why would they?
Well, if you're playing multiplayer, I think it's important to could be important to monitor servers sometimes, and to see what friends are online and if they are playing or not. And for example, the servers that I am playing on, they have very few amount of players on. In worst case, they have zero players.
And, yeah, that is the worst case.
Yeah, so what happens sometimes, I just think so, what happens sometimes is you have three or four people maybe monitoring the server, and no one wants to log into the server maybe because they are like waiting for someone to log in, something like that.
Right.
And everyone is waiting for the other one, and they don't know even that the other ones are online or something. And all of them are monitoring the server. And but instead, if you can see them online, like on any messenger, so it is a little bit of a call for Neverwinter players to get on some kind of messenger. And Crossfire is a good one, I think, for Neverwinter Nights 1 at least, and also for 2, if you don't use Steam, of course. Because of the communication that you can have, you can see online friends.
Yeah, well, with Steam especially, I mean, there's a lot of players. I mean, you're talking about probably at least half the players that had purchased the actual physical game and not Steam. So you have like kind of a segregated, you know, community, like where they purchased it via Steam or didn't purchase it via Steam. So I could see Xfire being a big step up from that, since everybody has access to the Xfire.
Yeah, it's easy because it's just to install it, and so it's easy getting online. And if you have some friends added, and if you add the guild, then you automatically get all the friends of the guild, so you can see them if they are online. So you can even ask them if they want to play, or for example, you can see them playing on one server that you don't know about, maybe. And then you can ask them, is that server good? And they say, yeah, it's good. That's a good server. And that's actually sometimes how I find a new server that way. I see other people playing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've noticed that too. I mean, a lot of times, like, people take a look at the list of servers, and if they see it's all beefy, you know, you got like 20 people on, they'll be like, oh, you know, check this out. It looks like it's pretty popular. Because, you know, there is an investment when you're starting a new persistent world. Yeah, you got that. Most cases, you got to download the files, spend the time to do that. Plus, you know, try to understand the basics of the server, because every server is different in some way. They're not all the same. So that's definitely a good indicator when you see a server that's got a lot of people on at one time.
That is unfortunately one very common way that players enter a server. They just sort the server list on number of players, and then they join the most popular ones. And in Neverwinter Nights, then there are a couple of those servers that always have players on, and usually more than 20, and maybe around 40, 50 even. And people join those servers just because, well, they see they have the most players on, so it must be the best one or something.
Yeah, right, right.
Can you tell us how many are typically online there?
In total, there are 256 members, which of course not all of them are active. But right now there are 42 of them online, and there are 18 of them that are playing games. And well, wonder what games they are playing. But hopefully most of them are playing Neverwinter Nights, but that's not a guarantee with all of the new games that have come now. Yeah, well, I think there are always some people online at least, and easy to get in contact and to see what they are playing. I have to start the application, and I don't have it started now, but well, that could be interesting maybe as well.
And then we'll also, just a side note, we'll post in the show notes the actual link to get the Xfire download as well from the website you provided us too, so that people listen to this podcast, you'll get all that information around our website right underneath it there.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's about the online people. Some of them make screenshots and videos, so you can see them in the guild page as well. Servers have screenshot pages also, so if you take screenshots, you store it at your computer, but it's also stored on the Crossfire website, and also it's stored in a server's... there's like a little server page here on Crossfire that shows all the screenshots taken from cool. different people. Yeah, that's quite cool.
It's I like it a lot. That's really nice.
Yeah.
What kind of people are on Xfire? Like, you know, just the community. Like, what kind of have you experienced?
It's about Neverwinter Nights players. It's many of them are PvP players or action players. There is also a good amount of role players, because role players is generally the biggest population in Neverwinter Nights. But on Crossfire, it's not Crossfire. It's more PvP action players, but still a lot of role players as well. And yeah, well, it's a mix of people. Before there were many young people, and maybe Crossfire was mainly used for shooter games, but nowadays I think many also use it for many kind of MMOs, and you can see different people. And well, in worst case, you can always meet someone that's immature, but that can happen any time when you are doing game.
Yeah, it can happen anywhere, anytime. No question about that.
Anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, but of course, there was a time when there was more, maybe, of that. Now it's less, and it's maybe less people in total, because Crossfire had some problems. It was actually sold or something to another company, and they sacked most of the people working on this. So now they don't have so many updates, and maybe for 1 or 2 years it hasn't been updating so much. But still, it's a good... The first one was good, so it's it hasn't improved as much as it could have improved for the last 1 or 2 years, but it's still very good, and they are getting some new stuff as well soon. I think they're getting some more stuff up.
Yeah, that's really cool. At least they're maintaining it. I mean, unlike Neverwinter Nights 2, where they've totally abandoned maintaining it after, right, it's been about a year and a half now. So at least they're getting some updates, even if it's small.
Well, those kind of games, I don't think that you get up so much updates for. Maybe Neverwinter Nights 1 was a little bit longer than a normal game. And even Neverwinter Nights 2, I think you had more updates than you get for a normal game.
True. But, you know, but like I've always said before, Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 aren't normal games. I mean, I have yet to see a platform come even close to the original Neverwinter Nights, or 2 for that matter, and what it had to offer the community.
Yeah, and the people who work with improving the game and building content, it's of course an impressive community size and contribution.
Oh, yeah, certainly it is.
And I am just a small time contributor compared to many of the giants in the game.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of people who have their hands in the cookie jar and making it what it is, but every contribution helps, that's for sure. And even with this stuff that you've been doing, plus hosting Persistent Worlds, for God's sakes, that's
Yeah,
not
of
what we call it
course.
a small contribution. That's a pretty big contribution, so, you know, that's great.
Yeah, well, it wasn't one of the biggest ones, but it was enjoyable while it lasted, and for the little it was, and the little amount of players that were available, we had fun, or we didn't, or we wouldn't have done it.
Oh, absolutely.
Are there any cons to using Crossfire? Does it tax your system more or anything, you know, with it running constantly while you're playing games and stuff?
Yeah, I haven't noticed any taxing of the system, actually. Of course, any program you're running does tax the system a little bit, but I don't think Crossfire taxes more than any other chat program that you have out there. And the fact that you can even connect more of the chat programs to Crossfire, it means that you, for example, you don't need to be running MSN or some other programs as well. So you can just use Crossfire, and also you can run Neverwinter Nights in full screen mode, which I have always been playing in full screen mode and would never consider playing it any other way.
Same here.
Yeah, so that's a good thing for me, and no, I don't need to alt tab out and check my messages when I get one, and I can just pop them up if I want to, and even send back messages from in-game. So it doesn't tax the system. What I noticed, not even on my old computer. Maybe some there is some problems maybe with Vista and. Well, I'm running Windows 7 now. I don't have any problems with it. I heard there are some people having problems with Vista, and maybe some people have some problems with some kind of firewalls or something. In sometimes XP computers get strange as well.
But isn't Vista just a problem anyway, so
Yeah, I think if you manage to install Neverwinter Nights. For, I mean, at least number one. I don't know how NVN2 is, but Neverwinter Nights 1 is a pain to install on Vista. And on some computers, it can be quite hard to install just the game and get it running properly. So Crossfire is probably the least of the problems. But on some computers and some configurations, or if you have something wrong with the firewall or something, it doesn't show what server you are playing on, or you in get similar you don't get full functionality of the program sometimes in worst case, but that's not so common.
Yeah, definitely Vista's been a thorn in the side. That's Windows 7, on the other hand, has been very good. I've had no trouble with NWN on either 1 or 2 on Windows 7, so I think they fixed a lot of the problems with that.
Yeah, I bought a new computer not so long time ago, and was happy to be able to play Neverwinter Nights in a good way, and yeah, a little bit better than before. Not a big improvement, but it's an old program, so I'm just happy it works.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Then some more cons. Well, if we're looking at the website itself, it's a little bit spammy with a little bit too much commercial, I think, and. Lately, they even got the commercial with where you can play with girls or what it was. Well, I don't see it right now, but yeah, you can. There are some different kinds of commercials.
Of questionable repute.
Yeah, say the least. Yeah, there was one guy because the commercial itself, it doesn't look so. I mean, it's just a lightly clad girl then, so it's not so dangerous. But one on the forums, he wrote that No, remove this pawn from Crossfire. And one other he wrote, but this is not pawn. This is just lightly clad women. And then he wrote, well, click the link. And then the next message he said, oh yeah, now it looks like porn.
Well, hey, I see a lot of stuff even on the IGN Vault. I mean, when I go on, I mean, sometimes they have stuff like that too, but it's totally in the bounds of normal content. But, you know, I know what you're talking about. They do try to grab people's attention, quote unquote, on grab. And but anytime you're dealing with a medium where you have, you know, advertised to pay for the service, you know, depending on what it is, that's always a possibility. Because a lot of times those advertisements are farmed out, like they're not even maintained by Crossfire, you know, or whoever for that matter, just the advertising agency that puts the stuff out there. So
yeah, that's how they get paid, I guess.
And, it's you know, I mean, it's certainly and that's one of the reasons why we never, like on our sites, we don't advertise, and that everything we do is strictly through donations. And if it ain't donations, then it's out of old Brian's pocket, you know, the old bank account, you know. But that's why I don't advertise myself, because I don't want to have that as a, you know, offending players or whatever, especially because our setting's more of an intimate type of thing, to, you know, like directly with the players, not like second tier or something like that.
Yeah, well, Neverwinter Nights is all about working for free, and that's what we all do.
Yeah.
As a gamer and a long-time internet user, I have this, and maybe especially in Sweden, and we have this for free internet, or that everything on the internet should be free. But of course, sometimes it goes too far, like downloading free movies or free music or whatever. But
definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, most of the things should, well, they should be free, actually.
Yep. Is there anything new upcoming regarding Crossfire? Any updates or new features?
I mentioned a little bit, they are actually working now on a new website, and they have been doing more updates than lately. And what I've heard, they have bought their own company and re-employed some of the old developers. So it's actually happening. It seems to be moving a little bit now again. I still think they have a lot to catch up to get the total mass of players they had before. And they will, of course, never catch up to Steam. But there are some other chat programs that are out there that I think are less not so good, but they have actually more players, I think, because they are newer and they are developing. Hopefully they start developing a little bit more now, and we'll see how the new website looks. Maybe I think it's going to be better. Hopefully not too Facebooky.
Facebooky.
I like that term. Well, can you tell us about Project Q and CP?
Oh, well, yeah. I guess you probably know more about that than me, or maybe you don't, because you play Neverwinter Nights 2 more than 1, I guess. Because you have servers in Neverwinter Nights 2, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, we've...
Right.
Right, Realms of Trinity is with our cert. We only got one, but that's one more than enough.
yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I can say a little bit what I think about it. And I haven't been using. I'm not the custom content type of guy, but lately I have been starting to look more into it. And of course, some of the servers, but still. I think most of the servers don't use any custom content at all that I play on, at least. And I think also the bulk of the servers and the most popular ones, they don't do it. They don't use custom content. But some do, and I think some do it in a very good way, and some do it in a less good way. But I think it's all about the design of the server in general. It doesn't matter if you stuff it with custom content, but you're not really designing the server, because a server doesn't get better because you stuff more custom content to it. You have to actually design it as well. So that's a little miss that happens sometimes, that I think some admins think that the more the better, but not always.
Yeah, that's that, you know, when you start throwing all this crap at your server, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, there's also architectural implications that gives too. I mean, the more custom content you throw in, or the more feature, you know, processor intensive features you put in, you know, it actually could potentially dramatically hurt your playability of your server and or its performance.
Yeah, and also it takes a lot of time to design using that content as well.
Oh yeah.
Of course, some of the content is free for the players to, for example, crafting the look of themselves or something. That comes into the game almost directly. But other things don't, and some designs doesn't look good together with the default game and so on. But of course, sometimes you have server which try not to look as the default game.
And that's where you come back to the server has to be designed well too. So
yeah. So about let me see here. I think I have something more to say here now on the. Oh yeah. I think there are some interesting custom content coming up or that are already available. And it's getting better and better for Neverwinter Nights, at least for Neverwinter Nights 1, which I follow. And Project Q has been the most interesting for me. And if I had more time, I'd be, of course, building my PV that I started from scratch and didn't get far at all. But hopefully, or maybe I get some more time and I will do it. CEP has been a long time, has been around for a long time, and is of course the most commonly used one. And some of the versions, most of the players had that CEP version. But the CEP version is, of course, it's very big, and much of the content is not of the best quality, unfortunately. There are a lot of interesting new content coming up until this day.
Yeah,
as we can see in the forum.
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of development efforts and projects and things like that. It just these keeps going and going, which is great, you know, for the community and the longevity of the application and everything. It's definitely huge. And you know, what's your thoughts on the Neverwinter Nights 2 platform and your experiences with it, and anything else that you could think of?
When Neverwinter Nights 2 was released, it was, of course, extremely hyped for any Neverwinter Nights 1 player, including me. And, of course, I bought it without even looking at it, how it looked or how it was playing. And when I tried it, I was not impressed from the beginning, of course. Then it had quite some serious bugs even from the beginning. But even with those bugs fixed, I wasn't really impressed. I think the platform wasn't as thorough as the Neverwinter Nights 1. And it seems that many people that played single player and the campaign, the original campaign that came with the game, which I never played for. Neither Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2. They say that it's actually a little bit better in Neverwinter Nights 2, the original campaign. So it's, it's probably still a good game, but I thought that the platform just, I didn't like it so much, and the toolset looked even more advanced, and it looked, the layout of the toolset looked a little bit, well, strange for me, but that's maybe because I wasn't used to it as well. The biggest thing for me was that the game itself, the platform, it wasn't, or the engine, or whatever you call it, it wasn't to my liking. So I was pretty quick about getting back to Neverwinter Nights 1, and this despite the fact that the server I was playing on. They actually merged to Neverwinter Nights 2, as many servers did at that time, and they kind of closed down the Neverwinter Nights 1 server, and they had some problems getting the Neverwinter Nights 2 server up. This was the server I was playing at then, Genesis Nordic, and they had some problems getting up a new server, but they did, and I don't think it was a hit, actually, but there are other NVN2 servers that, of course, they had some success, and even one of my friends from Neverwinter Nights 1, he had a server built for Neverwinter Nights 2, and he was quite successful with it. I think it was something with Saga. It's one. It was quite a big one in. Do you know someone called Saga something about Northern Vikings, like Viking style?
It may have been before our time on Neverwinter 2. I mean,
yeah.
just for the reasons you outlined, we didn't start development of ROT until I think it was January of 2008. So that's a little bit, almost 2 years after the release of the NWN2 platform before we even start developing. Just to wait for the product to mature and, you know, some patches to get in. And even then, there was still a lot of butt pain involved, you know, setting this stuff up. And the tool set was still buggy. I mean, there were still things that certainly should have worked that just would crash or not work right, that they later fixed in later patches. But, you know, everything that you've talked about NWN2 up front, like the first 2 years, was kind of chaotic. I mean, we've talked to other NWN2 persistent world creators, and they actually started creating their world with the beta tool set. It wasn't even out of the gate yet. You know, they were telling us all kind of horror stories when we interviewed them. So certainly one of the problems with NWN2, from what we've seen, and we say it all the time, it was just the fact that it was released too early. It wasn't a mature product when they released it.
Yeah, I think they had a lot less total development time for it, and I think also Neverwinter Nights 1 maybe took 1 or 2 years until you saw a lot of persistent world servers, because it actually takes a long time to build one, and also they patched, of course, the game as well to get it stable in multiplayer and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably went faster in Neverwinter Nights 1. But still, there was some servers coming up. And now I just remembered the name of the Neverwinter Nights 2 server that my friend was having, and it's Midgard Saga. Maybe you heard about it.
No, actually, I haven't. That's are they still online? Or?
Yeah, they're still online. They have less players now, but it was one of the bigger servers, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
we'll check them out. we'll hit them up for an interview at some point soon here. So
yeah.
I didn't even see him before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about MMOs and why we want to play Neverwinter Nights and not MMOs.
Yeah, that's a very simple question, and they are simply, well, they are, in worst case, they are not interesting at all, or they just look childish or very actiony, and you button mash through enemies, and there are no tactics, and there is even no communication, there is no multiplayer, there is no co-op, because people are like soloing through this world, more
mm-hmm.
or less, in worst case. And also the game itself is, and the lore, and the look of most games are not good enough, I think. Well, I don't know why you are not playing it, but maybe I summarized it somehow.
No, we regularly bash World of Warcraft players and stuff like that. But
yeah, I think the game system is different, and it allows for more strategy and more diverse type of play, and all classes are not the same. And also, you don't have this typical like tree, like tank, or, well, you have them in a way, but not. It's more different. You have more different things that the different classes can do, and even if a class is weaker, it's not always about that. And
No, it's not. Absolutely not. Is there any interesting? You know, speaking of MMOs, is there any interesting upcoming MMOs that are coming up, like the Pathfinder Online, that you could think of?
Yeah, there are very few interesting upcoming MMOs, actually, but there are a couple of them that were interesting first when I looked at them, like Pathfinder Online, and of course I was looking into the new Neverwinter, which of course draw some attention, and at the beginning when they started talking about Neverwinter, it sounded very interesting because they were going to drop single player, everything single player.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And concentrate on the multiplayer. And they were actually going to make a co-op game. And the developer at that time, he said that they were not aiming at a straight-out MMO. And this sounded like music to my ears.
I can certainly say they weren't. We interviewed the executive producer of Neverwinter at the time, Shane Hensley. We actually went out to Columbus to the Origins Game Fair to meet him. And we had a nice opportunity to actually physically interview the guy, you know, for a good solid hour. And, you know, what we got from him was exactly what you're talking about. I mean, they were really focusing on a persistent world feeling, but for obviously hosted on a massive server and a massive set of game systems that allowed people to add their own content in their own worlds, as well as the one that they were building for, like, the, quote, core campaign. So, yeah, they certainly were going down that line. And he even told us that a lot of, like, their ideas were coming from, like, the persistent worlds for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. He even told us that they knew of our persistent world, and they were actually very familiar with what we did. And they were, I don't know if necessarily they were taking that into account, but they certainly were aware of all the work that we've done as a persistent world runner. And other persistent worlds, not just ours, but everybody's, you know. So they've spent a lot of research time. But that was before they got bought out, of course, and re-kicked the project. So.
Yeah, it sounded very interesting from the beginning, but then I saw a trailer also, and the graphic style, it just looked like a little bit like you would expect an MMO to look or work, and we actually didn't see the HUD in their trailer, but... it looked a little bit like World of Warcraft, to say.
Yeah, it certainly did. But we had some good sneak peek stuff that that we were looking at that they released at the E3 and that was publicly available at the time. And, you know, there was some things that raised my eyebrows. I mean, I was even contemplating at the time when we interviewed him to start, because we were getting ready to start our third campaign for our server, and I was going to, you know, possibly use that. But then when they changed everything over and said it wasn't going to be jump-started until it wasn't going to be released until the end of 2012, that kind of put the water on the fire, so to speak, you know, for us to actually be able to do something like that.
You mean when they were bought by Perfect World Entertainment?
That is correct. Yeah.
Because that kind of happened afterwards, after mm-hmm. those trailers, I think.
Yep,
at least for me.
He left the company right before that happened. Hensley. He's working at Pinnacle now, and you know. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there was a, and I believe there was a change in focus because they are calling it MMO. He was very careful in our interview not to call it an MMO because that wasn't what they were trying to accomplish. It looks like they've refocused their efforts to making it an MMO. So.
Well, now they totally did it, but I think even before. Because something you can see in every MMO when they release or before they release, they go out and say they are different. And but for us who play Neverwinter Nights, for us, they look a little bit similar, all of them. And so when they are talking about that there is a difference or that this one is going to be different, and they always find something that's different. And this one was saying it was going to be an online multiplayer game and not an MMO, so it really took it a step further than most, even not saying it's not an MMO even, and it was like a rage. Some of the people were crying and screaming. I don't know what happened.
Like I said, you know, it's just at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I had high hopes that it was going to be that, especially because of the features that were going to be rolled out of the gate. And what they had planned for down the road stuff, especially like giving you your own settings for like the way your persistent world would run, you know, a campaign setting similar to the way they have it set up in Neverwinter Nights 2, where you have the campaign settings that you set that everything runs underneath, and you know, to be able to change the mechanics of the world even. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but you know, obviously that's not the, I don't believe it's still the intention of the release that's upcoming next year. So I guess it's more going to be more one of those things that it's going to be a wait and see, and to see exactly where they take it.
Yeah, they had some features that sounded interesting, and It sounded like they have like they had at least been looking a little bit at Neverwinter Nights Persistent Worlds instead of other major MMOs. I mean, at least you can have that. You could have that feeling at that time, but now it feels like when they even say, "Well, we're gonna make a full out MMO," that to me sounds like, "Oh, we're gonna make the same MMO like everyone else, and we're gonna go free to play like everyone else." And
very possible, and you know, obviously, we're just gonna have to wait and see. I mean, that's really all there is to that. We're just gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah, so I kind of got a little bit less interested. Of course, the time is more. It's 1 year more of development. Anyway, I recently heard about Pathfinder Online, and I don't know so much about Pathfinder, but I know it's kind of it's Dungeons and Dragons more or less. It's 3.5 Dungeons and Dragons, and so it sounded very interesting at first, but I've been skulking the forums there a little bit, and it seems like they are again looking too much at normal MMOs, I think, and instead of looking at Neverwinter Nights Persistent World, because I think if you are making a Dungeons and Dragons game, you should actually be looking at Neverwinter Nights instead of like Dungeons and Dragons Online and stuff like that.
Well, you know, in closing, is there anything else you'd like to add about Crossfire or anything else you want to share with the community? Or
well, I think we talked about almost everything.
Okay, all right. That's cool. I want to thank you for coming on the show. You know, I know we've been friends for quite some time, never actually had an opportunity to talk to each other. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, I look forward to hearing, you know, if you want to come on for future segments or give updates about your online community and, you know, getting some words out there, that'd be great.
Yeah, this was fun, and sure, I'll be glad to be back anytime.
Well, you get the closing line.
Get in game and power level.
Up. Up. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity. We're solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.